Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Game of Thrones Season 6, Episode 7, The Broken Man, and Season 6, Episode 8, No One.
No One, yes. And, you know, it's not as obvious when you read through, like, the names like that. Much like Blood of My Blood, it's like, I wasn't really sure which episode that was. So when you hear some of these names, you're kind of like, which one?
Because it's about the Daenerys bullshit.
And yeah, a lot of times like the titles last... are. Like, but when the door comes, it's like, oh, the door.
You know? Yeah, but the problem is the Blood of My Blood thing is a single scene at the end. And it's not like a through line. And I'm glad it's not, because that would have made it so much worse.
But it ends with a dragon screech, like, oh, so good. All right. So,
if you can't tell, we are buzzed.
Yeah, and I'm the only one who's really been drinking, so here we go. But yes, so we are covering those too. We have our usual, I do like caveats as a word. That's like a good lawyer type word.
You do love caveats.
Caveats makes me happy. So we're going with caveats, which include that there will be cursing. There will be spoilers. There's going to be hair in your face.
I noticed, like, when I was re-listening to, I'm re-listening to our Downton Abbey part of the podcast, and I'm on season 4 right now. I cannot wait to hear about our thoughts on season 5, because I've already forgotten. I already just know it's going to be bad. But I love it when our episode starts with us barely keeping it together and us going off the wall, like trying not to laugh.
I don't know if I told you. So like I'm check periodically to see like where our listeners are. And we did have a couple like in different places. We had one in Hong Kong. And I thought that they were listening to Downton Abbey. Not sure, it could have been you. And we had one in Sweden for a while. I think we've lost our Frankfurt person, which is sad.
Well,
whatever.
It's you're just, always welcome.
Everyone is welcome. So yes, we have all of those things and we're having things to drink. What are you having to drink?
I'm having red box wine from Kroger again. I try not to repeat within a season, but I couldn't help it because I wanted to be buzzed and this is what I had open.
Works for me. I was a little concerned because I was thinking I was going to have to recycle Needle for this episode, because I like Needle as a cocktail from this Game of Thrones cocktail book. And I feel like it is an appropriate thing for this episode, but I found Milk of the Poppy. And I think this is the last appearance of Milk of the Poppy in the series as a thing within the episodes. So I thought it was worthwhile to do it now. I, of course, have made my own variation based on what I have in my house as opposed to what it calls for, because some of these ingredients I don't have or I wasn't going to take the time to do. So it calls for 3 ounces of Irish whiskey, 3 ounces of Bailey's, 1 ounce of Pimm's, which I don't like, and I'm not going to have in my house because I'm not really a bitters person. I have Campari in it only because other people drink it. And 2 ounces of honey ginger syrup, which you're supposed to make yourself, and I did not do that, and some candied ginger for garnish. So the variation that I made, I did 1 ounce of Irish whiskey. I used really good Jameson's, so because we have really good Jameson's right now. I did 1 ounce of Bailey's. And 1 ounce of that ginger liqueur that your Aunt Barbara likes, the Canton or whatever it is. It's really good. And I added a little bit of honey and I like it. It's not as gingery as I have been hoping, but it's still pretty good.
Like, with the amount of ginger, you'd expect it to be extremely gingery.
Bailey's kind of overwhelms everything, I think, when you put stuff with Bailey's.
So, that's true, but Bailey's is good. So
Bailey's is good. So it's hard to screw this up.
He's good.
And I'm going to be numb by the end of this, because that's the goal of Milk of the Poppy.
You're also going to pass out. Anyway, so the sections are King's Landing, Camp, North, Riverrun, Volantis. So we have a lot of new places. Well, newish. I mean, these are established places for the most part, but we have not been there.
No, and this episode starts with something, and when I saw it, I know you did it too. It's like
I gasped.
Yeah, I did too.
Because it starts with the intro sequence, but it didn't. Intro credits, but it didn't. It started with the scene that we are not going to do first.
No, we're not. So, we're not. But there is a reveal in it, and that's really cool.
All right, we're going to start with Volantis. All of the Ironborn, except for Theon, are enjoying whores and ale. Yara taunts him a bit, but apologizes about, you're not going to enjoy any of this because you have no penis. And then she's like, wait, that's actually an awful thing to say. I'm so sorry, bro. And then she's like, hey, drink. Just peer pressures him into drinking an entire mug of ale. I love this line, by the way, of, I know you've had some bad years. And then Theon goes, bad years? I'm just like, yeah, you're making it sound like he had a bit of an alcohol problem and that's it. No, he and got maybe unemployed at one point. No, he had his dick cut off and was brainwashed into thinking he was rape. Don't get started on a fucking bad year, Yara. I found that hilarious. She tells him that if he's so broken and can't come back, that he should just end it all. But if not, to come with her with Tumarine to make a pact with Daenerys.
Right. And you know, there's a lot of discussion. Of course, I haven't really talked about like some of the stuff from the showrunners with regard to like that Dor episode. I think, you know, that commentary is really, really good. There's some interesting commentary about like the Yara as therapist or the rapist. We She's don't not know.
Well, then she gets and enjoys a whore. So,
That's consensual. It's consensual, but
my awful impression gets worse with drink.
Yeah, now
I just sound like a marine.
You're embarrassing me.
I knew. Hey, how am I embarrassing you? I'm knowledgeable.
Okay, I'm so proud. So
I would like to recap. I've had three sips of box wine.
I empathize with her on multiple levels because it's kind of like, look, if you're gonna be back, you need to be back. You can't. We gotta move forward, or otherwise we're just gonna get, you know, drowned by the
stuck in the past like Bran.
Right, but anyway. Like we're gonna go to Meereen and you hear the Greyjoy theme and that's the way
whatever they... It's a very short segment. All right, where to go next? River Run.
It starts with Bold Rains of Castamere and Bron. The Lannister army is being led by Jaime and Bronn, and they like kind of walk right into the Frey camp because there's like no perimeter. Bronn is hilarious in describing how bad the Frey army is. He is super funny, is worth watching just for that. The dumbass Freys are like, the Frey brothers are trying to get Riverrun back by saying, if you don't give it back, we're going to kill Edmure.
Like he gives a shit about Edmure.
Exactly. And the Blackfish is basically like, he calls her, he's like, all right, go on then.
Do
and
it.
Of course, they don't. Because
he's literally their only leverage.
Right, because that's all they've got. And so Jamie's kind of like, look, they have this big discussion about, hey, you suck as an army. I'm here. I'm in charge. If you're going to, you know, try to make threats, do it. You have to follow through on it. And he explains, like, this is what a threat means. Like, you know, if I tell you that you need to shut up and you keep talking, what should I do? So, like, the Frey brother keeps talking. He just hits him in the face. I'm like,
it's so funny.
This so much. Love it.
See, it seems like a stupid side quest, but it becomes so much more than a stupid side quest. It is a stupid side quest, but it's so fucking funny that you can't help it but like it.
Yes, absolutely. Because we get to see it, like, reunions with characters too, and that's super awesome. So
that's next episode, though.
Anyway, so Jamie decides he wants to parlay with the Blackfish. And Bron's kind of like, oh, you want to do it single combat with him? Because my money's on the old guy. You're just some one-handed twat. I love Bron.
I love Bron.
I cannot explain how much I love Bron. You have to watch the show to understand how much I love Bron. So Jamie approaches on the drawbridge. Blackfish comes out. and calls Jamie up for failing to fulfill his oath to Catelyn. And Jamie's kind of like, look, if you surrender on my honor, these things are going to happen. And
your honor.
Over, and the wife is like, you have honor? I don't think so. You just stabbed the king in the back. You didn't keep your oath to Catelyn. And he's like, as long as I'm standing, this war is not over. And he's like, I've got provisions for 2 years. You know, having a great time storming the castle here, buddy. Jamie's kind of like, well, you knew you weren't going to concede. Why'd you come out here? He's like, well, your sieges are boring. And I kind of wanted to take my measure of you. And he's like, and now I have. And he's like, well, what do you think? Jamie says, what do you think? And he's like, I'm disappointed.
It's so good. I love
the Blackfish too. He's awesome.
He's awesome. I'm going to go with the North.
Yes. The North. Because we get to revisit people that we like.
Yeah. I'm going to do the North, the New. Oh, wait. Sorry. I meant to also say Braavos at the beginning with the sections. That's also a section. Yes,
it is a section.
I'll do the North, then you can do Braavos, then I can do King's Landing, then you can do Camp. How about that?
Ooh, I get all the good ones.
I'm going to butt in, but okay. Can I do camp? I have I want to do camp.
I really want to do camp too.
I keep calling the guy Blackbeard, please.
Okay.
Fine. Wait, no.
Okay, no, you can do it. You can do it.
Fine.
Wait, if I can do camp in the next one.
Fine. I will give you that. You can have, well, you don't really have much to do with camp, but sure. You can do road. Yes, you can do road. Okay. All right. Agreed. Great. North. John asks the wildlings for help. The wildlings don't want to fight Ramsay and be the last of them because that's not what they agreed to. And I love the way that John handles this by just saying what they're saying, but louder, and be like, that's not the deal we made. And then he's like, but I need help. And Tormund is able to also help convince them because it's like, hey, this guy gave his life to help us. You should probably feel a little bit indebted to him. And so one's on their side and they agree, and Sansa watches, and I didn't know that she knew that Jon died for them, but I guess it makes sense. He probably told her. Anyway, then later on, they're on basically like a northern tour going to different houses to ask for help, and they go next to Bear Island, where the Mormont seat is.
Oh my god, it's so fucking great. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And little Lyanna Mormont, played by Bella Ramsey, who was recently in The Last of Us. We saw her before she was in The Last of Us.
With Pedro Pascal, so quirky like that. Love to.
And she is 10 years old, and she's very feisty. They there's a question of John's birth. She's surrounded by counselors on her. It's kind of similar to Bran's situation when he was left in charge of Winterfell. Like, the maesters are kind of pulling the strings, but she is present and she is very feisty. They question John's birth and doesn't want to, and she also doesn't want to give up her men. And she's like, why should I give one Mormont life for another person's war? And he's like, they're like, I don't know.
Okay, so there, you've skipped a couple of really good lines, and again, some of them were with Tormund. You know, he died for us. If you're not willing to do the same, we are cowards, and we should be the last of the wildlings. There is a really great line about between Sansa and Lyanna Mormont, because Sansa's trying to like, oh, you're a girl, I'm a girl, and she's trying to relate to her. Yeah, I'm sure you're going to be a great beauty. And she's like, my mother wasn't a great beauty. I don't expect to be a great beauty, but she was a great warrior, and that's what I expect to be. Sit down, basically.
Yeah. And then Davos steps forward because he's the man of the hour. He talks about how he believes in John and in the cause. And they know that if Ramsay is going to be in charge of the North, then everyone's kind of doomed. She then agrees to commit 62 men to the war, and he's like, 62, and she's like, yeah, no, they'll kill 10 times more men than any one guy from another house. And Davos says, if they're even half as ferocious as their lady, the Boltons are doomed. I love that
line. Amen.
Then they go over to Deepwood Mott, which is the Glover's seat. And the Lord Glover immediately says no, because the Boltons helped them take back their home. John says the bulk of the force is made up of wildlings, and that's another reason why Glover refuses to work with them. And Sansa then reminds him that Glover is pledged to House Stark, but he says that he felt let down when Rob didn't even like commit any kind of force to take back Deepwood Mott when the Greyjoys took over it during the in the middle of the war. Like, he didn't, while his like family and children were suffering back home, Rob did absolutely nothing.
Yeah, they were
and
killed.
So he feels like he doesn't owe the Starks any kind of debt. Then they camp, later on they camp where Stannis camped, but they're not going to stay long enough to get trapped by the snow because they know better. And they got some support from other houses. Sansa says they need more men, but John says they match with who they march with who they have. Sansa then writes a scroll to someone for support. We will find out who later, but you can probably guess who it is.
Yeah. All right. She's very secretive about it. It's kind of weird.
I'm sorry about the ASMR there. Stuff. I have the assistance of Yang.
Can I see you?
Give me a second.
Oh, hello. No, he does not want to go anywhere.
He does not.
You could have just turned the camera, but
I could have. But now I have Yang.
So. Hi, big kitty.
Hi. So yes,
we were sounding like you earlier.
Yes, we were. We were trying very hard to sound.
Did that work for you?
He's purring. That counts.
Oh, that's nice. Okay. Do you want to do Bravos?
I thought you said King's Landing.
Yeah.
Do you want to do Bravos last? Because I figured we'd do Bravos.
Yeah, that's
last.
Fine. We can do Bravos last.
All right. So King's Landing, we got Margaery and the High Sparrow. Yawn. They talk about the poor. He asks why Margaery is not sleeping with Tommen, because she's been let go, obviously. And she's like, oh, well, you know, I felt like sleeping with Tommen was kind of like, you know, going, you know, back to being a sinner. And he's kind of like, no.
Says some sexist bullshit about, it's not about desire for the woman. It's about patience. And I'm like, fuck you.
Oh, I forgot. Not in my house. So just saying.
I did not need to know that.
I'm happy for you. I fear for your grandmother Olenna. We need to save her soul, blah blah blah. So Margaery understands,
he's literally threatening her. He's like, yeah. I worry for her body and soul. So it's like, yeah, we're gonna fucking hurt your grandma. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I mean, so Margaery gets the message. She's like, okay. And so she knows she's got to meet with her grandmother, and she's going to have to do it, you know, under supervision. So she meets with her grandmother. Septimella's there, and Olenna's kind of like, what the fuck is going on here? Get her out of here. And Margaery's, you know, like conveying the party line and saying, look, I love you. We've all got to renounce our previous, you know, Loras is going to have to renounce his titles, et cetera, et cetera. And Olenna's like, this is bullshit. What are you doing? Margaery at the end tells her grandmother, you got to get out of the city, I love you, and passes her a note with a rose drawn on it, basically like, look, I love you, but you got to get the fuck out because it's not safe. And she's basically thinking you're gonna get arrested and killed. But she plays her part well, and she's at the end is like, shall we pray?
I love that line, her just going, shall we pray?
It's pretty fucking awesome. It is pretty fucking awesome. So we change now to Cersei and Mountainstein going to visit Olenna as Olenna's packing up. And Olenna like points out, like, this is all because Cersei's like, oh, we need to join together and you need to support me because they've got your son. And she's like, no,
No. And she says this great line. I wonder if you're the worst person I ever met. I'm kind of old. I've met some bad people, but you stand out as possibly being the worst person I have ever met in my entire life. This whole thing is your fault. You put this High Sparrow in a position of power. You've lost. And the only joy I can find, and that is the only joy I can find in all this misery, is her, is Elena's thought that Cersei has lost.
She also says it, all of this is because of your stupidity. And I was like, yes, bitch, you are correct.
Yes, you are correct. Amen, sister.
Amen, sister. Okay.
Speaking of amen, camp, go to camp.
Camp. The first note is I gasped.
But that's because you know what's coming. The reveal doesn't
happen. I knew. Because the episode usually starts with the intro sequence, but right after the recap was a scene of people putting together a windmill or something. I think it's a windmill. It doesn't matter.
Power of some kind.
Except or something people. Like that. Anyway, it's a thriving community with Blackbeard from the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Ian McShane, always a win.
Oh, that's his name?
Yeah, he was also in Deadwood, I think. That's the one that I watched with him. He's great in that, too.
He's great. I did not know his name, so I just called him Blackbeard for the entirety of this, so enjoy. Blackbeard is building a windmill, and a large man who is carrying a log by himself, which it took like two or three men to do the same work, but this man is different. He's built different, and he is revealed to be the Hound.
Yes!
He's alive.
But not a Stein.
Not a Stein. He is just alive. But they've both come back to life. So in some ways, yes. We have not seen him since season four, and we have missed you, buddy. For sure. Anyway, he is aggressively chopping wood because he got beaten by a woman like 2 years ago. But he's still upset about it. And Blackbeard talks to him about finding him and patching him up because he thought he was dead, but he wasn't. And he thought he would die millions of times afterwards, but he didn't. And he was like, "What fueled you?" And he's like, "Hate. I hate a lot of people, and it kept me going." And he's like, and the Blackbeard's like, "Nah, it was the gods, wasn't it?" And Blackbeard's kind of a cool priest, where he's kind of like, "Yeah, no, it like whatever is out there, I do believe in a higher power. Whatever the higher power is, I believe in it. I believe there is something more out there for us, and I think it has some plans for Gregor Clegane." And so,
that's Sandor Clegane.
Sandor, sorry, I just realized I said Gregor. Sandor Clegane. He's heard of the Hound and says that the gods have already punished him for all of the all the wrongdoings that he's already done. Later on, Blackbeard talks about his army days to the camp, and about being a ruthless coward and how it did him no good and was haunted by the screams of his victim's mother once. It was like a young boy or whatever. He wants to bring goodness into the world now. Some men from the Brotherhood pass through and ask for horses and food for them, quote unquote, protecting the people. And he says the night is dark and full of terrors. That's what tips the Hound off that they were a part of the Brotherhood. And the Hound is chopping more wood because that's basically all he does now. And Blackbeard says he doesn't want any violence, and the Hound is like, "Then that's just gonna get you killed. Like, if you're not willing to defend yourself, you're just gonna get yourself killed." Later on, the Hound returns to camp after some brief deforestation because he hears some screaming. Smokey the Bear would be so disappointed. He doesn't like burn them down or anything, but like he does chop them down. Chop, chop, chop. And I don't know what that was.
How much wine have you had?
Literally four sips. Anyway, the Brotherhood butchered everyone, including Blackbeard, who is hanging from the unfinished windmill or whatever this was supposed to be. Sophie, my roommate, said, did you find a peaceful place where you felt happy and secure? Well, we can't have that. And then the hound is like, he picks up an axe and is ready to exact his revenge. And that's the end of the episode, but it's not the end of our episode. So, because maybe we still have Bravos.
Yes.
What is wrong with me today?
I don't know. Maybe we need to have Sophie on sometime, though. Having Sophie on could be fun.
I can try to get her on for maybe like a season 7 or something, but I think the last two need to be us. Because we get it. Yeah. And it's not that Sophie doesn't, it's just the...
Oh no, for season 6 it's a, it, look,
season 6 is for us.
Season 6, there's still more great stuff to come. So, we are in Braavos, and Arya, knowing that she is marked for death, wants to book passage to Westeros. She finds a guy who's, you know, from Westeros, and she's like, look, I want to book passage. We need to leave at dawn. She's got a pile of money because the money she stole from the Hound. And so she's...
No, she threw that into the river. She stole this.
Whatever. She stole it. Whatever. But she's got additional money for a cabin. And the guy's like, okay, then. So she's feeling pretty good. And she's like looking off of a bridge and like, I'm going home. La, la, la. And she's sitting on the bridge and an old woman appears and asks like, her, sweet girl. Okay, sweet girl. And starts stabbing her. It is the
hey,
way.
Hey, sweet girl.
Hey, sweet girl.
You look so cute.
And there's blood. Arya jumps off the bridge into the water and stays down, which is like the right answer. Stays down as long as possible. And the waif walks away like, I've done my job.
That's the fucking stupidest shit ever. You should be better than that waif.
You should, but you don't. And so Arya is really bad. She's bleeding really, really badly, but she is able to stumble up some steps that were like used for smaller boats and whatever. And she's wandering through the marketplace and no one will help her. She's just like drenched.
No,
in bleeding.
It's not just that they won't help her. She doesn't know if they are the waif in the disguise.
Right. Because the waif could be anyway.
Which is a fucking terrifying thought.
It is, right, because the waif could be no one. We don't know.
Because it's it's not like Arya memorized every face that could possibly have been in the library. Like, she didn't go through the Dewey Decimal System and see, like, who was who. Like, no.
Totally get it. So
she just doesn't know who to trust, which is scary.
What were the best parts of this episode?
The Hound, obviously. He's back to life. Baby,
yes!
And it's I cannot be happier. I missed
I'm thrilled. I was
a main man. I'm so
happy. I really honest to God thought that was in season 7. Like, it was the beginning of season 7.
No, it's season 6. Like, I just didn't realize when it was. And when I saw the title Broken Man, I was like, who's the broken man? And
exactly. I did too. I was man. Who are we talking about?
Yeah, no, and I was watching with Sophie and I was just like, oh my God, you're gonna recognize this guy, you're gonna recognize him. And then she was like, oh, he's back to life. And I was just like, I know, but it's a way bigger deal when you don't know what's happening.
Yes.
Marjorie for doing her brainwash thing, but doing it better than Sansa did in seasons 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 and 4. Elena for telling Cersei exactly where she can stick it. The Blackfish for telling Jaime where he can stick it and not into his sister. And Lyanna Mormont, Davos, Jon, Sansa, Arya, and Bronn.
Yeah, I have Arya and the Hound, and the idea that they are both like potentially on a trajectory where we could see them together again is awesome. Olenna, who rocks, Marjorie, John, Davos, Sansa, because I really do like Sansa in this episode too. Lyanna, the Blackfish. I love Jaime and Bronn in this. The Jaime and Bronn pairing is hilarious. And I like Yara in this too. I like her having that like Theon, get your shit together, because he really is the broken man in this episode.
Yeah, that's what I was assuming it was about. But
yeah,
yeah, I died Yara.
Yep, So what else? What were your worst parts?
High Sparrow, Glover, the Brotherhood, and Circe.
I can't believe I did not include the High Sparrow. So I have the Brotherhood, Circe, the Waif. Hello.
Oh, yes, the Waif. The old Waif. Woman.
The and dark the secret. High Sparrow. So, yeah, what grade did you give this episode?
B? Yeah, I think it's a shame because I love that. I do love a lot of the stuff that's in this. Because I think that the Hound's storyline is very interesting. I think that him finding a little bit of inner peace, but then it automatically being ripped away from him is interesting. Like meeting a guy who's kind of has had his values in a way, but was able to turn it around, but is able to level with him on a personal level kind of thing. I think that's very interesting to see. I love Blackbeard's like whole thing. I'll add Blackbeard, but mm-hmm. I think that's a really cool way of looking at it. However, it does not constitute the entire episode. There's a lot of King's Landing bullshit that I had to get through. And as much as I love Margaery and Olenna, it's a lot of let's pray and let's do all this bullshit. And seriously being like, oh no, but you need my help. And Olenna's like, fuck no, I don't leave me alone.
And so leave me the fuck alone. Yeah. No,
leave me alone. But
I agree. I agree. Yeah. I think it's a B. I originally had it as a B minus, which is unfair. It's a B.
No, it's a B.
And part of what's great is that we don't have like Maureen.
Well, not in that episode, no.
No, we instead have the Hound. Yay. So
I will take the Hound over Maureen any day of the week.
Well, and Bron and Jamie over Maureen.
Oh, and Bron and Jamie. Yeah. Oh, it just gets better in the next episode.
It does. Boy, so let's get started. What are our sections for season 6, episode 8? No one.
We've got Braavos, King's Landing, River Run, Maureen, and Road. You want Road, so we'll reserve Road. Well, do you want to just start with Road?
Well, okay, I kind of think Braavos should. I feel
no.
like our should be the Braavos oh. should be last.
I was about to say Braavos should be last. Yeah, do you want to start last. With Road?
We can start with Road, sure.
Either Road or Maureen. Do you want to start with Maureen and then do Road?
Okay.
You want to do Maureen? Maureen. The people are listening to the priests. Varys is leaving to go to Westeros for an unknown expedition to get allies. I don't know why I said exposition, but sure. Tyrion then is up in the pyramid and makes Missandei and Grey Worm drink. There are a lot of great lines. I'll name a few now. Missandei says, "I have tried wine before. It made me feel funny." And Tyrion says, "That's how you know it's working." And then to make sure that they actually do drink wine, he proposes a toast to Daenerys. And he says, "Anyone not drinking is disrespecting our queen." Then Tyrion mentions he wants to own a vineyard, which is very on brand for him. He tries to get them to tell jokes. Missandei tells a translator joke, which is cute. And then Grey Worm says he doesn't know jokes. And he also tells Missandei that is the worst joke I have ever heard. And she's like, you don't even know what a joke is. And he's like, oh, of course I know what a joke is. I'm in Unsullied. Of course we have jokes. And then she's like, what? And he goes, I make joke. And and then she just starts giggling like a schoolgirl. It's really funny. I don't know why I like a schoolgirl, but you know what I mean. Then Tyrion's about to say the whole jackass joke, the one that he was about to tell, or like the story he was about to tell right before his trial by combat thing in the Eyrie, kind of a similar idea, which is a fun callback, but gets cut off again. The bells sound because the masters have arrived on ships to claim their property and are throwing fireballs at the city. Grey Worm takes charge of the army. They decide to stay in the pyramid because it's something they can actually defend rather than meeting them on the beach and just get slaughtered. And then something lands on the roof of the pyramid, but it's just Daenerys and Drogon. Yep. And Daenerys makes a dramatic entrance and is like, what have you done to my city? I'm like, what are you? That's none of your fucking concern, you flighty bitch. Like,
we weren't even fucking here.
Where have you been?
there are a couple of things I want to kind of throw in here. There's some really good lines. Tyrion does name his wine. He wants to make the Imp's Delight wine, which I'm going to say this and it's going to sound weird, but the way Grey Worm looks at Missandei laughing, I think is something you need to have in your life at some point in time. It's so sweet.
It's so cute.
It is adorable. I love the fact that Grey Worm tells Tyrion to shut up. I know the army. You don't know what you're talking about. We can defend the pyramid. That's the way it goes. And of course there is dragon screaming. So,
but it doesn't end the episode, so I'm not.
It does not, but there's dragon screaming, so whatever. True. So what do you want to
do? So you want to do road next?
We can do road.
Okay, how about this? You can do road, then I'll do River Run, then you do King's Landing, then I do Braavos.
Okay, I'm gonna say some shit in Braavos because shit is gonna.
Of course
happen.
You are. Okay.
So there, on the road, the on Brotherhood, the guys, and they kind of split up, but there's some Brotherhood guys there joking about Hedekas girls, blah, blah, blah. I have just a note how great this shot is because.
Oh, of him coming up behind him?
Yeah, the Hound is out of focus in the background with his axe, and he comes into focus just as he swings and kills one of the guys.
Yeah.
And so he kills the people. There's one that's down on the ground, the one who is being the most obnoxious, and he asks, where's the guy with the yellow cloak? And the guy says, fuck you. And the Hound retorts, those are your last words. You can do better. And he's like, cunt, you're shit at dying, you know that?
And I love that line.
It is so fucking great. It's so on brand for the Hound. It is so great.
It is so perfect for him.
It is so, it's perfect. So great. The Hound is continuing to seek out the guy with the yellow cloak and finds him because Beric Dondarrion and Thoros of Myr appear and they are about to hang him for having killed this sect of people. And so they have this discussion. It's like about the group that was killed, and the Hound's like, "Yeah, they killed my friends." And Thoros of Myr is like, "You've got friends?"
And he's like, "Nope, not anymore. They're
not
mine.
Anymore, I don't." So they bargain with how many of these people the Hound is going to get to kill, and they let him have two
of three, by the way.
And so they go. They have this whole discussion about how they're going to kill him. And he's like, I don't want to hang them. And they're like, well, we all bloody die except this one. And then he calls him, you guys are a bunch of Nancys. You should just kill him. And so the Hound, they hang the yellow cloak guy and the other guy that the Hound gets to hang. And he takes the boots of the yellow cloak guy because they are his size. And there's a discussion between them, Beric Dondarrion and Thoros are like, hey, you're here for a reason, much like Ian McShane, the Blackbeard guy, had said. And I love these discussions because there's a lot of philosophical questions going on here. And the Hound points out is like a lot of horrible shit has been done for something bigger than ourselves. And I beat you not because the Lord of Light wanted me to beat you or had a plan for me, but because I'm better than you. And Beric Dondarrion is like, look, you were born a fighter. You are still a fighter. You are needed for the fight to come. And it's a lot like the conversations with John. Like, I don't believe in anything, like that loss of religious fervor, but there is still a living worth fighting for. And whatever your religious background or thought or anything else, it's kind of like Davos said, like, great, go fail again, keep going,
because they're going north to mm-hmm. deal with the dead because they mm-hmm. had visions in the flames or some shit.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the road.
You get to do this great line in River Run.
Yeah, I know. But you got the awesome line from The Road, so shut up.
It's okay.
Is Yang still there, by the way?
No, I'm hugging Ghost because I don't have Yang anymore.
No. Okay. Okay, where are we? All right. It starts out with a really fucking funny line of Podrick saying, it looks like Podrick and Brienne have just like ridden up, and Podrick says, it looks like a siege. And Brienne says, you have a keen military mind, Pod. I love that so fucking much. And then Podrick and Brienne see that Jaime is at the siege. And so she like tells the Lannister men, hey, I'm here and I have his sword. So I need to meet with him. Yep. And then Podrick is reunited with Bronn by Bronn coming up and like putting him in a chokehold from behind and being like, Podrick, fucking pain. I can't believe you're still alive. And Podrick mentions that they also discuss if Brienne and Jaime are fucking in the tent or whatever. And he's like, no, of course they're not. And anyway, then Podrick mentions that he's training to fight with Brienne an hour in the morning and an hour at night. And and Bronn's like, yeah, no, they're doing wonders. You let this old guy like come up behind you and almost kill you. And then he's like, all right, well, show me your fighting stance. And Podrick does that. And then he's like, yeah, you see how your like feet are a yard apart? And Podrick looks down, and then Bronn immediately punches him across the face and is like, lesson one, assume everyone wants to hit you. And because they do, Pod, everyone wants to hit a fucking squire. And then we go over to Jaime, who's talking to Brienne, who's proud of Brienne for finding Sansa. He's very surprised she's even alive. And Brienne's like, you don't know many people like Sansa. And they explain their conflict with the Blackfish. Brienne wants to go talk to him and try to get his men for Sansa, while Jaime is tasked with taking the castle, which he will not yield while he's alive. So Brienne asks if she can try to convince the Blackfish to abandon the castle and go north. Brienne also tries to give the sword back, Oathkeeper, back, and he's like, nope, it's yours. It is your sword. And she says she'll have to fight him in the Blackfish's honor for Sansa, and that would make them enemies. And Jamie's just like, well, we're just not going to let it get that far. And then she goes into River Run. The Blackfish refuses because he doesn't trust Jamie's word, and he also doesn't trust that he doesn't really know Sansa's hand. He doesn't know her signature or anything about her, really. He's only known her like met her a couple times when she was younger. And But Brienne ends up giving him the letter anyway, and he marvels at how similar she is to her mother, but he can't help her because he needs the people to defend his home. And even though she wants to go home, he needs to defend his home first. And Brienne sends a raven to Sansa saying she failed. Then later on, Jaime is talking to Edmure.
This concept of the two of them in the scene is so great to me. I'm sorry, go ahead.
What do you mean?
The actors are both really great in their own right, and that's the way that this interaction goes, you know, a lot of what is said doesn't really move the plot all that much, but
no, it doesn't.
Interaction is really good. Go ahead.
Sure. Edmure says the Blackfish won't surrender. Edmure apparently fathered a son after one night. Good for you.
Speaking of magic cocks, bro. If we're going to talk about magic cocks, not just Podrick has a magic cock. Clearly Edmure does too.
Anyway, he has not met the son, but he knows that he exists. He hates Jaime and asks how he lives with himself knowing he's an awful person. Then Jaime talks to him about Catelyn, and he's like, nope, you cannot talk about Catelyn, fuck you, shut up. And he's like, no, but she loved her children so much, And so does Cersei. And he recites his famous line right before he not killed, but pushed
tried Bran, to
tried to kill Bran, which is the things we do for love. And then he ends up being like, I love Cersei. I know you'll like scoff at that, but I do love Cersei and I will do anything to make her happy. And that includes taking this fucking castle. You know, I can always just get your kid and toss him over the walls of River Run on a catapult and like just do that if you don't cooperate with me. And of course, Edmure is like, yeah, no, I'm definitely going to save my son that I have not met, but still. Edmure, who is technically lord of the castle, goes to the gate and asks to be let in, but the Blackfish sees it as a trap because that's fucking obvious. They let Edmure in and he makes eye contact with the Blackfish. It's very loaded eye contact.
Yes.
Edmure tells the guards to surrender and open the gates. Edmure tells them to take the Blackfish prisoner, but in the meanwhile, Blackfish helps Brienne and Podrick escape and sacrifices himself. And he's like, yeah, no, I haven't had a proper fight in years. I'll probably look like a fucking idiot. And then
I love him. I love that. It's like Davos. You know, like, I apologize for your best to see.
Exactly. The Lannisters take the castle and the Blackfish is killed off screen with the Reigns of Castamere playing. Jaime sees them escape, sees Brienne and Podrick escape and alerts no one. He just waves goodbye.
And she waves back. It's like the super awkward, like, hey.
Bye. You just killed a couple people. Bye.
Bye. All right. I get King's Landing.
Ever since we watched Shaun of the Dead, you can't help but do that.
Bye. All right. And I would like to say bye to some people in King's Landing, but not yet. So Tommen is laying the faith militant into the Red Keep. Mountainstein accompanies Cersei down because Lancel is like, hey, Cersei, the High Sparrow wants to see you. And if you refuse, there will be violence. And Cersei, this is probably one of her best lines ever. She's like, I choose violence.
She chooses violence every day.
She does, but she says it out loud. And I love that. And up until this point, you know, she's kind of restrained the mountain a little bit. The mountain will look at her and just doesn't do it. But, you know, Mountainstein then, like, one of the Faith Militant guys takes this clawed club, I guess, and hits him in the chest with it and just sticks there. And the Mountainstein then crushes the guy and pulls his guts out, and everyone's like, holy shit.
He grabs his head off. Like chin and rips his head off.
Yeah, it's like unfucking believable. And watching this gore and horrible whatever done to a human being makes Cersei and Qyburn smile. They're psychopaths. That's what it is. So Cersei then tells Lancel to tell the High Sparrow that he's always welcome to visit.
I want him to visit if that's going to be the result.
I do too, because I'm kind of done. But Cersei then is like, you see her go into the throne room. She is trying to mount the steps to the throne to stand by her son, and she's banished to the gallery. She's like, there's a royal announcement today? And they're like, yep, royal announcement. So Tommen says, there's going to be a trial in the Sept. There's a date set for my mom and for Loras Tyrell. And also, oh, by the way, there's no more trial by combat. This is going to be a trial by seven priests or whatever, just like in the old days. And so you can see Cersei's like, shit, she's just crushed because she's been outmaneuvered. And we get Sad Reigns of Castamere out of this.
Sad Reigns of Castamere.
As they're walking out, Cersei talks to Qyburn, and Qyburn's like, you know, you asked me about an old rumor, and yeah, that old rumor is true and much, much more. And we will find out what that means later.
Okay. Barabos, after a performance where she made some rewrites, Lady Crane finds a frightened and bloodied Arya backstage. Crane patches Arya up and offers her a job in their company as they move on to Pentos. Arya says that they'd never be safe with the waif searching for her. She doesn't say the waif, but people searching for her in general. Lady Crane gives her milk of the poppy, and she actually accepts it for once. Nobody really accepts milk of the poppy ever. But
I just had milk of the poppy. I'm not asleep. Just saying.
Wow, I'm so glad. And I'm sorry, that sounded so weird. I'm sorry. Anyway, later on, Arya is sleeping and Lady Crane is looking after her. She goes into the kitchen to like grab, I guess, probably some more milk of the poppy just for a little bit later so that she can heal a little bit more. She gets on a stool and grabs it, but we see like this random ass guy behind her, and we know it's the Waif. We already know it's the Waif. Yep. And we hear a crash, and Arya wakes up to the sound and she runs into the room. And she sees that that Lady Crane is like on top of the stool, kind of like broken neck, kind of weird. She hit her head, something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's almost like she was stabbed through by the legs of the stool.
By the stool or something. She's dead. That's great. In an indeterminate way, she is dead. Yes. And so Arya jumps out of a window like Prince Charming in Cinderella 3 and get the fuck out of there. She's like, okay. And then jumps out. If you don't have a guy who will jump out of a window for you, are you even living? I'm kidding.
I'm not sure about that.
So. I was kidding. Good. Anyway, the Waif and her play a game of cat and mouse around the streets. Arya is running very well for someone who has been stabbed in the abdomen several times. But good for her. Good stamina. Now,
keep going. There's some comments I want to make, but keep going.
Okay. I really don't have too much. They run through the streets. I really don't have anything in the streets. I just say that they like end up in a cave after like a lot of rustle and tussle and like running on top of things.
I want to kind of make clear again, we get some really good shots of people approaching in this. Like you get the same sort of thing that you got with the Hound.
The Waif on the roof.
Arya will like, you know, be down on the ground and you see blurred in the background the Waif appear, and you know, like she's just running after it, and she keeps appearing. The Waif keeps appearing. It's like Terminator 2. I don't know if you've seen Terminator 2.
I've not seen Terminator 2. Judgment Day? No.
Terminator 2, like there is a liquid Terminator that can reform and reform and reform and just like appears and gets under doors and like all this stuff. And it feels like the Waif does that, like just appears out of nowhere. Like how the fuck does she know where to be? But like you'll see, you know, Arya down, and you'll see like this blur on top of a wall, and it comes into focus and it's the Waif. This is so well shot. And you know, just the running.
Also, the stunt actresses, like, good for you. And any stunts that Maisie Williams and the Waif did themselves, good for you. Impressive the stone steps.
Ooh. Yeah, holy shit. So, and Arya, at one point, you know, the adrenaline, and this does happen when you have an injury like this, the adrenaline causes her wounds to start bleeding again.
Yeah.
So she's got blood coming off of her. It's swiped onto the walls.
I was going to say, her.
Go ahead.
They end up in the cave where Arya is staying, her blood trail leading the way.
I think it's Arya on purpose at this point, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like at that point, she knows exactly what's happening there, and she wants to get back to the cave anyway, because she knows she might have an advantage there, and we will discuss that in a second. Mm-hmm. Arya prepares to fight with Needle and extinguishes the only candle to give her advantage in the dark, because she was the only one who was blind, bitch. And she was able to try to almost beat you then, bitch. And the Waif. Jaqen H'ghar is in the House of Black and White and sees some blood trailing, and he goes to the Library of Faces, and he finds the Waif's bloody new face on the wall of the library, and Arya is behind him holding Needle up to him and is just like, you sent her to kill me. And he's like, yeah, I did. And she's just like, well, I'm not going to do that shit anymore. She doesn't say that, but Jaqen says, you have proven yourself and you are officially no one. And Arya says, a girl is Arya Stark of Winterfell and I'm going home. And Jaqen kind of has a look of respect on his face, which I appreciate. He's just kind of like, okay, yeah, good for you. Do that. And Arya leaves and she is done with fucking Braavos, and I could not be happier.
I'm like cheering at this one. Like, hell yes, girl.
Fuck yeah, you are.
Fuck yeah.
See how so much better season 6 is than season fucking 5, mother.
I never said season 5 was better than season 6.
You think season 5 is better than a lot of stuff.
I felt like season 5 was better than 2, 3, and 4. That's what I said. That's it. So, shall we talk about best parts of this episode?
Arya, obviously. The Hound, clearly. Lady Crane for being a nice human being. Podrick and Bronn, so funny. The Blackfish, Brienne, Tyrion, Missandei, and Grey Worm.
All right. I'm going to have one broader thing. The fact that we now have people gathering rather than dispersing. So we have, you know, Arya Stark of Winterfell is going home. Fuck yeah. We are now getting people coming back to where they should be. Arya, of course, totally fucking awesome. And I feel like we kind of glossed over. She, you know, cuts the candle and it's dark, but you don't know who survived this battle. And the way that it's set up, it's not clear she's going to win it.
Right. Right? And when you see the face on the wall, you don't necessarily know it's not Arya. Until she shows up behind him.
Yeah, it's really fucking awesome. I actually love Jockin in this too. He's like, oh, okay, I respect you. I love Brienne. I love the Blackfish. I love the Hound. Beric and Thoros, I like Podrick and Brienne together. Or Podrick and Bronn together, I'm sorry. The Cersei line. I don't like Cersei, but I like that one line.
I choose violence.
Fuck yeah. I love Grey Worm and Missandei. I know that's like way back and it's not that important, but I love the two of them.
No, I said that too. So don't worry about it.
Worst parts.
The Waif. Tommen being weak. And Jaime threatening a child. What are you doing, bro?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I've got Tommen being weak, Jaime, of course. Qyburn and Cersei. Jesus.
Oh yeah, Qyburn and Cersei. And Mountainstein.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, Mountainstein is a given as a bad part. I don't even
Qyburn and Cersei in particular.
Yeah, I don't really consider him human. Edmure, you fucking loser. What the fuck is wrong with you?
He threatened his child, mother.
Yeah. You know what? You could fake it, go along, and then say, kill them all or whatever, defend the castle once you get in there, but you fucking don't.
But no, he knows that Jaime, they can't. They brought like several thousand men.
Whatever. I mean, you got 2 years of provisions. Come on. And the Waif. What grade did you give this episode?
B+.
Well, I gave it an A-. I love this whole Arya thing. I mean,
I love the Arya thing.
I honestly, on some level, identify with Arya, so I'm kind of like, hell yeah. I really love this episode. Not as much as some others coming up, but I love this episode.
You're being so obvious, Mom.
I am being obvious because
you mean next. Others coming up in the next two?
Yes,
yes. No
up
shit.
In the next two. Yes.
I will say the next two, like, they're some of the best of the series.
Period. Period.
End of sentence.
Discussion. Yeah, absolutely. I'm really looking forward to sharing this next episode, particularly with all of you. We hope that you join us. And
cheers.